We drove right down US 1 past this spot. This building was not here. It was all woods. Probably a few Seminoles were still hiding around. But I've got a long, long history with you and love you and appreciate you. Elwood and I guess, where's Elwood? All right. Is anybody else here that goes back as far as we do?
About 40 years, 45.
Oh, yeah, Marcia. Praise God. Well, I go back 112. So. Yeah. Thank the Lord. Lord, nobody's come here to hear me. Thank you for that. We've come to hear you. We want your word. And Holy Spirit, right now, we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome to come and rule and reign and glorify Jesus in our midst. God Almighty, let it be so. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Last May, I had the privilege, unexpectedly, to meet a brother who came to my sons in ministry meeting in Boca Raton, which, by the way, I'll be preaching there tonight. If any of you can survive this morning, you're welcome to come back there at Christ the Rock this evening. But I was having my annual sons in ministry meeting, and a young police officer showed up. I had never met him. He was at that time director of West Palm Beach SWAT team, narcotics unit, undercover agent, and all of that. And God met him in a wonderful way. I want him to share a quick word. Larry, come up here. This is Sergeant Larry Castelli, West Palm Beach Police Department. And what I say now is that the police department won't let me go out unless one of them is to bring me the back. So,
good morning.
Good morning.
Been with the West Palm Beach Police. I'm in my 18th year. 13 of those years on SWAT. Last May, I met Brother Charles. I want to give you just a Cliff Notes version of some of my testimony. I got saved at 19 in the Marine Corps when I joined in 1981 by a Gideon's Bible. I didn't know what an altar call was. I didn't know any of that. Served 4 years in the Marine Corps, got out. That was how I got saved. At age 32, I'm a slow learner. At age 32, I got baptized, water baptism, because I started out as a Catholic. So there was a lot of stuff I had to go through. At age 32, I got baptized in water. At age 45, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit about that. Brother Charles laid hands on me and prayed for me and on me. And I felt my heart, as he prayed for me, I felt my heart start to beat in a way I never felt before. I felt like someone was inside of me punching me from the inside. That's how hard my heart was pounding. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I thought my heart was just going to flop out of my chest and fall on the floor. Then I got this electrical charge going through me. And I remember telling myself, I said, man, you're strong. You're not going to fall out. And I said that, and my head clicked off. Something clicked my head off. And then when my head clicked back on, my knees were buckling and I was going back. And I just told myself, dude, you're going down. So anyways, my whole life I've been training to be a warrior. I thought that's what my call was, to be a warrior. Marine Corps, martial arts, weaponry. The Lord's calling me to be a different warrior. And I want to speak mostly to you young people. The Lord's calling us warriors, and the armor is the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to put on the armor of the Lord? Are you willing to go into battle for the war, for the Lord? Be his warrior. Young folks, when the Holy Spirit's on me, I start to shake. So if you notice me shaking up here, you know what's happening to me. But anyways, I'm honored to be here with you in worship today. And I love yous all.
Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to come down there too. No, no. You're in now in danger zone. I want to read just a note. And you listen carefully. What Larry was sharing with you, he had never been in a full gospel meeting in his life. Didn't know what it was all about. Came because of a neck injury that another friend brought him that night. But in that first meeting, in power of the Holy Spirit, got filled and baptized in the Spirit. Now, I'm kind of jealous of that because I had to cry and beg and plead and repent for 3 solid months in grief and anguish. And then somebody else just walks in and bang, it's done. Listen to this. Without hesitation, I can tell you that the greatest single blessing, most phenomenal, life-changing event of my 60 years in ministry came when I was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That happened in 1977 when an inmate in the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary laid hands on me and radically, wonderfully changed my life forever. At the time, I had been a Baptist pastor for 27 years and did not believe in the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not only did I not believe in them, but was thoroughly convinced that those who did were off their religious rockers. And I can tell you without hesitation, I would never have gotten around a crowd like you. Nor would I ever have gotten around a preacher like I now am. There comes a total transformation when we step into the river of the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, that river of the Holy Spirit is released in us. But I love to tell congregations, it is impossible, hear me, it is impossible for God to move in your life and you not like it.
Come on. Come on.
I want to repeat that. It is impossible for God to move in your life and you not like it.
That's right.
God created your body. God created your brain. That is the tissue part. Then God created the mind that functions inside that brain. A moment ago on the screen, we had those beautiful close-ups of eyes, people's eyes. And I was thinking the color in them was so clear and so beautiful. And to think that that with every other functioning part of the body, bang, came into being in 1 split second when conception took place from invisible parts. And that 280 days later, from that conception, steps out, comes to the visible world, a new being and a new creation. There is no explanation for it except God Almighty. Now, if God Almighty can create your body, your brain, the mind that functions in it, and then the emotions that function within your mind, please hear me again. It is impossible for God to move inside of you with any of His miraculous works and you not like it.
Amen.
You and I, number one, are so honored of God that He would condescend to any of us.
Yes.
Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, and a line in it is this: long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I went forth and followed thee. And when the Holy Spirit begins moving in your life, not only can he heal damaged parts, that is actually bring physical healing, but he can restore damaged, wounded parts of your emotions and your mind. You and I have all been through a series of crises to this point. Every human being that steps into life and into being meets an enemy immediately. You and I are tiny little curled up babies with no understanding of the universe around us. And there is a monster looking down on us saying, I will kill you and I will destroy you. And I will keep you away from God and I will keep you out of heaven. You and I in that moment become the battleground. Hear me. You and I become the battleground between that monster, demon, devil, and Almighty God who says, no, this one is created in my image and my likeness, and my power is upon him, and I am going to work in him and protect him or her from you, monster. We become a battleground. Now, the wonderful thing is, that the Holy Spirit comes to be our aid in that battle. He does not leave us defenseless. And the more we can press into the power of God, the more we can open ourselves for the power and purpose of God to work in us, the higher we're going to rise above the reach of that demon level. And that's what the power of the Holy Spirit, the reason that God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to read to you from Acts 1, but listen, don't turn there. Just listen. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded the disciples not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They never heard what he said. They heard part of it. But their whole focus is on the physical, external parts of Israel and the nation. And he has a much greater plan in view. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But, hear this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. They want to know, God, are you going to rescue us physically? And Jesus says, quit thinking about that. Do you know that people who get rescued first from their problem do not have the motivation to be rescued inwardly and spiritually? This shocks people, but I can tell you this. You read the New Testament. Rome was an empire that existed on slavery. It wasn't just blacks. Anybody Rome conquered became their slave. The whole system was a slave system. Jesus never one time preached for the overthrow of the slave system externally. No. Paul never preached for the overthrow of the slave system externally. Paul knew, Jesus knew, that if the slaves are freed physically, they will have no motivation to press in and latch hold and take part of that inward spiritual freedom that they need. But if they get free on the inside, there is no way they can be kept in slavery on the outside. And so for that reason, the New Testament taught over and over again, get free on the inside. You know, in Rome's day, their battleships were not empowered by the wind. Many of the ships had sails. Those were cargo ships. But the ships that were warships were empowered by slaves in the lower deck, chained to their oars, a whip at their back, commanding them to row that boat. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 4, said, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Now, please stay with me, because the word he used there as servants of Christ, it's the only time that word is used in the New Testament. And it's a direct reference to the one chained to the oar below deck. Meaning, before we can be the steward and be on the upper deck and experience the freedom and the beauty of outside, we need to get into that lower hold of learning where to pray and how to pray. Because what you heard coming out of that lower deck was groaning. That's the reason in Romans 8, the Apostle Paul talks about, we know not how to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Meaning that's the most powerful kind of prayer. All right. Now, these slaves in the galley below praying, what happens to them? The chain stays on them. But when one of them gets saved and gets freed and is experiencing the glory of the Holy Spirit, and the slave next to him looks at him and sees him glowing and says, "Man, what happened to you?" Let me tell you about being free in Christ. Thank you. About experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
About knowing joy and freedom. That externally this is where I am, yes. But internally, I'm off the chart. I am in the heavens. I am in the glory. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. That one tells the next one, then the next one, then the next one, then the next one. Until ultimately, every slave below deck has stepped into the freedom and power of the Holy Spirit. That's the way Rome was converted. Awesome. Awesome. Power of God. How do we step into that experience? Well, in my experience, I had, number one, I got saved in a little Baptist church in Miami when I was 17 years old. And I had a dramatic experience, encounter with God that day. Life-changing, totally. And I remember not long after that, then the Holy Spirit called me to preach, and I didn't want to preach. That was not my choice. But I cooperated. I submitted. I never surrendered. I hate to tell you, but for almost 30 years, I was in a cooperative program with God. It wasn't until the day I just told you about in the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary when the inmate laid his hands on my head and said, "Brother Charles," he quoted Ananias' words to Saul of Tarsus, "Brother Charles, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And God waited till I got home wisely. But let me tell you, that was the day and the moment when heaven came down my soul to greet and glory crowned the mercy seat. Most phenomenal day of my life. Nothing else has ever compared to that moment when the power of the Holy Spirit took hold of me, cleansed my temple of depression and suicide and anger and confusion and all of the junk that I had inherited from my past and that had piled up inside of me all my years, when it was just in one moment's time, God pulled the plug and that junk was gone. I'm not overstating that, but I don't want to understate that. And then I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Incredible. Incredible. I didn't even know what God had done to me. And it wasn't long after that, I was at a conference in South Georgia at a college there. Two other pastors came to me, and one of them said, "Brother Charles, will you pray for me?" And I said, "Yes." And we stepped into a little private room. I don't know why I did it. I just reached up, laid my hands on his head. I had my eyes closed. I started to pray, and I heard a crash. And my hand was still in the air, and I looked down. And this man was dead on the floor. If you had shot him, he wouldn't have been any more out of it than he was. The other pastor had to explain to me what had happened. I didn't know. He said, "He's slain in the spirit." I said, "I'm a Baptist. What does that mean?" Well, God just clicked off his motors. God just laid him out. After that, and Elwood can remember those incredible, and Marcia, forgive me, Marcia, those incredible days when the Holy Spirit began to move in our little Baptist church. Well, I tell you, not only did heaven come down our souls to great, but the monster stood up and said, "You're not going there." And we said, "Yes, we are." And we did. We had one heck of a fight. But we did. But, you know, when I look back over the years, now 30 years, since my great transition came and my translation came, I can tell you, I would never, ever go back. I would never, for any price on the planet, lose what the Holy Spirit has done in me to see lives radically change. When Larry came up that evening at Christ the Rock in Boca, I'd never met this man before. But I tell you what, I do remember. After he fell out there on the floor and the Holy Spirit came on him, and by this 30 years later, I have learned God's doing something really wonderful and great. And then I remember he sat like on the second row there, and I'm standing here, and the congregation is just coming by, and I'm not lining them up. I'm just having them come by, laying hands on them, and ushers are carrying them out and put them wherever they need to be. And I remember Larry sitting there with his eyes looking straight ahead and his jaw half dropped, and I thought, "Yeah, God, you're really getting his attention, getting his attention." I remember a few years back being at a meeting in Jacksonville, Florida, a wonderful church there, and the Holy Spirit was moving radically. Radically. I mean by that, people were getting delivered. Alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, whatever the problem was that they brought in with them, the Holy Spirit was laying them out, flushing them clean. But I had met a gentleman a couple days before. This was Sunday night. I'd met this gentleman a couple days before. He was an atheist, a college professor, taught philosophy at one of the universities, and I knew who he was, knew what he was. And oddly enough, he came to that Sunday night meeting. And what this church did was, after we got up for ministry time, the ushers cleaned out all the chairs. So everybody was standing. And I ministered to the congregation. People were laid out, like, as I say, in an Apache uprising. Everybody was dead on the floor. I went to this dear atheist, and I said to him, I said, "You are a philosopher." And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, philosophy, two Greek words, philo, which is to love, and sophia, which is wisdom." I said, "As a philosopher, you love wisdom." He said, "Yes, yes." And I said, "Well, then, if that be so, if God is real, you want to know it." And he said, kind of, you know, with a shrug, "Well, yes, if God's real, I want to know it." And I said, "Can you say, 'God, if you are real, show me'?" And he said, "Yes, I can say that." I said, "Well, say it." And he said, "God, if you're real, show me." And then I told him, I said, "Just stand here. I'll come back in a minute." I didn't want his attention on me. I went on, ministered to some others, came back, and all I did was just touch, if I even got to touch him, and bang, down he went, grabbing for the air, laid out on the floor under the power of God. Under God's, I didn't shove him, I didn't trip him. Let God do it.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
On the floor. I've even seen people stuck to the floor where you could not lift them off. Had a woman one time. Four men tried to get that woman off the floor. Couldn't do it. Well, why'd God do that? I don't know. But here's this PhD professor laid out on the floor. I came back to him a few minutes later, and tears were coming out of his eyes. And I left him. He went on, was ministering with others, came back, and he had disappeared. And I looked for him in the congregation. I couldn't find him. And I said, "Where's our professor?" And then he was at the far end of the building. I said, "Come back." I handed him the mic. I said, "Tell us what happened." And these are his words. He said, "I found God." "I found God." And he turned, and I took the mic. I said, "Wait a minute." And he looked back. I touched him again, and bang, down he went again. This time, he was on the floor a long time, and I didn't see him again that evening. He got away. But the next day, his friend called me and says, "I think you want to know what happened to him last night." Said he had parked his car at my house and ridden to church with me. And said when he got back to my house, said he was so drunk in the spirit, he could not drive home. He spent the night sleeping on my sofa. And said, and then the next day, next morning, he went back to the church, got a tape of the service that night, listened to it, and fell out again. Now, why does God do things like that? The whole ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the apostles was accompanied with signs and wonders. And when people tell me, "Well, God doesn't do things like that." And some of them will say that. "God doesn't do things like that." My answer is, don't dare him. Don't dare him. Well, go ahead. Dare him. Just say, "God, if you're real, show me." And let the Holy Spirit have the opportunity of moving in your life. Now, quickly, I want to share this with you. Let me ask this. Anybody, how many in the room are under 16 years old? Could I see some hands? All right. Wonderful. I want to share something with you, and the rest of you can listen. This really bothered me. After my baptism in the Spirit, when my whole world changed, My whole understanding of things changed. One of the first theological change that came to me was that I suddenly discovered I had become a kingdom of God preacher. I was no longer a church preacher. Now, I love the church. You, so must you. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church. But in the ministry of Jesus, he spoke the word church only 3 times. Matthew's Gospel 16:18. You don't find the word church in Mark, Luke, or John. But while he spoke of the church only 3 times, he spoke of the kingdom of God 130 times. Now the crisis, the absolute crisis in the modern church is that we see nothing of the kingdom of God. And we focus on our little corner of the church. Stop it. Stop it. I tell people, if you want to be the best Baptist in your Baptist church or the best Presbyterian or the best Episcopalian, become a kingdom of God person first.
Amen.
Then you'll be a good Baptist. You can't be a good Baptist. You cannot be a good Presbyterian, a good Episcopalian, or a good charismatic or a good Church of God person unless you become a kingdom of God person first.
Amen.
Then you'll be worth something to that part of the kingdom where God has put you. But here was the thing, and this is for everybody under 16. Now the rest of you can listen. But when I realized after my baptism in the Spirit that animals who are not created in the image and likeness of God, and I am, and you are, but that animals have much better sensory ability than you and I. That bothered me. When I realized that Fido next door was better equipped for life on the planet than I am, that wasn't really, I didn't think, very complimentary to God. All right, I want you to hear these statistics. Now, you housewives can appreciate this first one. The common housefly can detect and respond to danger in 1/200th of a second. How are you going to calculate 1/200th of a second? That fly's there on the counter. You reach for the swatter. He's in the other room. Yes. You're not about to get near him. He is so designed for speed, you can't duplicate it. That bothered me. When I thought, God, if I'm created in your likeness and image, why is it that that bug on the counter is more defensible in himself than I am of me? And there is an answer. Do you know this? You all know it. That a shark's electrical sensitivity, they have in their face little electric sensors. They don't just have to smell their prey. They can feel the electrical impulse in their prey. Let me tell you how far away. A shark's electrical sensitivity is so powerful that it could detect a flashlight battery 1,000 miles away. Now, why on earth? Why on earth would God put that kind of sensitivity in a shark? Yes. Not only that, that's not smelling. That's sensing an electrical impulse from that poor porpoise that's a mile over there. He can smell one tiny drop of blood in millions of gallons of water. The peregrine falcon. Now get this. Julie McCarty is an eye surgeon. She already knows this. She's the only one here, though. The peregrine falcon can spot a pigeon 5 miles away and dive at speeds of 217 miles an hour. I remember on the Florida Turnpike years ago seeing a hawk shoot out of the sky right on the shoulder of the road in front of me. And it shot. I was surprised I could even see it. It came so fast. Well, I knew when it hit the ground, it went 2 feet in under the dirt. But it didn't. It was able to stop on an 1/18 of an inch at that speed, catch its prey, and be gone. But here's the point about the hawk's vision. A hawk has fast vision. Now, you don't have that. God didn't give that to you, but he did give it to a bird. A hawk, another bird. A hawk could actually read print on a whirling airplane blade.
Wow.
That's called fast vision. God, why didn't you give me that? A polar bear can smell food at a distance of 24 miles. Now, I'm glad I can't on that. An owl can hear the movement of a mouse from 2 football fields away, located in the dark. A mouse doesn't stand a chance. And yet, some of us husbands, we have our wives complain that we can't hear them from the next room. Yeah. Thousands and thousands, millions really, of bats can fly in a pitch black cave at the same time, not touch each other. And you women can't back out of the garage.
Stay handy, brother.
Now, the point I'm getting at is, God, why? Why? If we are created in your image and likeness, did you waste all of that on these creatures? They never write a book. They never preach a sermon. They never minister to anybody else. They survive only for their own benefit and for their own good. Many of you, some of you would know this, because we have these little monarch butterflies around here. This monarch butterfly has a taste ability 12,000 times sharper than yours. And not only that, but that little butterfly with those little delicate wings can fly from Nova Scotia or California, or the Virgin Islands, or wherever it is, all of them at the same time every year to a few acres site in Mexico, have their big camp meeting, and then fly home. And I, even with a map in front of me, can't get around. When I ask the Lord, and I'm serious on this, when I ask the Lord, God, why did you waste that on these creatures and not give that kind of ability to us, human beings created in your image and likeness? I got an answer. I gave you my Holy Spirit. I gave you my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't limited to 1,000 miles or to just read print on a moving airplane blade. The Holy Spirit knows what's happening right now in the opposite side of the globe. You might have a relative there. You might have something going on you know nothing about. But the Holy Spirit can tell you about it. Elwood will remember when Laurie and I were here from 1962 at the church in Delray Beach that this one grew from to 1970. The only time in all my years of ministry that I had a few months sabbatical, and we were staying in a friend's home over here in Gulf Stream on the ocean. And one morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Don't leave the grounds today." I heard that. And I didn't leave. I stayed there all day long, not knowing why. That night, I was standing at the door. It was a French door, wide door, looking out at the ocean when the phone rang. And before I could even turn toward the phone, before I could turn, the Holy Spirit spoke, said all of this. "That's the church in Atlanta calling. They want you to become their pastor. Tell them you'll go." I heard all of that. First ring. I went, answered the phone, and the speaker said, "Brother Charles, this is Alice Elton at the church in Atlanta on Ponce de Leon Avenue. Said, we've just had our business conference, our call conference. We've extended you an invitation to become our pastor. Said, and when you can, we want you to, you pray and you tell us what you can do." And I said, "Brother Elton, I can tell you now." And he said, "Oh, you can." He thought I was going to say no. And I said, "If you want me to tell you now, yes, yes, go ahead, tell me now." And I said, "I accept your call." And there was a moment of silence. And he said, "You do?" And I said, "Yes. I'll call you back." Blam, he hung up the phone. And I thought, now that was rude. That's not a way to treat my response. But what he did, the people were leaving the church. Some had already gone. He went running out into the parking lot and stopped them. Some were leaving out the driveway. He stopped him. He said, "Come back, come back. Brother Charles, I've called him." He said, "Yes," and said, "Let's have a prayer meeting." And we did. Now, that was the church. And it wasn't any doing of their own, but that's the church where I was when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's God had all of that laid out and planned. Now, I'm through. I'm through. Except I want to tell you this. Those of us who have not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, don't be afraid of it. Please, don't be afraid. It is impossible for God to move in your life and you not like it. You will love everything God does. Those of us who have received the baptism in the Spirit need what Paul's told Timothy, stir up the gift which is in you, which was given you by the laying on of my hands. Now, there's no magic, there's no power in the human hand. None at all. But the hand is an extension of the temple of the Holy Spirit. This body, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when a ministering temple lays hands on a receiving temple, there will be an impartation of the Holy Spirit from one temple into the other. I have even one time in a meeting where I was laying hands on a young man, and the Holy Spirit, in a very feelable way, I could feel the power go into him, and then I felt the power from him come back to me. Incredible. But he was a temple of the Holy Spirit. Here, stand to your feet. Musicians, come. God wants all of us to live in the realm of the miraculous. Yes. Yes. Rick Cross, where are you? Would you come up here, please? Rick and I have known each other, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, however long he's been here. He's one that God told me to take under wing, and I'm going to obey God. I'm not involved in the results of what God does. I'm only under the obligation to be obedient to God. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, listen, Pastor, the Holy Spirit wants this church ablaze.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now listen, please. There are none of us, none of us are going to make that happen. We can preach our best message, pray for 14 days, fast for 2 weeks. We're not going to make God do anything. We're not going to jump loud, high enough, clap loud enough, sing long enough to make God do anything. But what the Holy Spirit wants is for us to get out of His way. All of us, me, you, every one of us, to get out of His way. I will tell you something. I have no hesitation in saying this. God is looking for places where He can funnel the power of His Holy Spirit through and move in might in the congregation and in the city. And He's doing that in some places around the world. We're not going to make it happen. We're not going to pump it up. It isn't coming like that. It's coming by getting out of God's way, crucifying our stupid egos, crucifying our pride, and letting the Holy Spirit have us. But I can promise you something. There's not a one of us in this room this morning but what the Holy Spirit can wonderfully transform and perfect and complete His whole program in our lives. It isn't me. It isn't Pastor. It's not other human beings. We are simply temples of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is willing to minister through. Come here. The Holy Spirit, come here, is willing to minister through in the power of the Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Would you step out, both of you? You, come right here. Sweetheart, just let God have you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, she's yours. She's yours. Holy Spirit, she's yours. Church, let's worship. Come out. Will you? All right, you come first. Let's go ahead and worship.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place.
Don't be afraid.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, she's yours. Now that's there. That's very gentle. Very gentle. Just let it happen. Holy Spirit, she's all yours.
All yours.
Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place.
You're invited. If you'll
come, Holy Spirit,
you're invited. You are temple. Thank you for restoring, renewing, making whole, making whole. Anyone in this section over here, anyone, come. I want you young people to come. Come out here.
Welcome. Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome in this place.
Mommy is yours. Just receive this. Run with it. Run with it. God will put the word in your mouth as a burning fire, as a shut up in your bones. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, anoint and empower and provide all that's needed for your work in this man's future. Holy Spirit, thank you for it. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, the man is yours. The man is yours. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, the woman is yours. She is yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, the man, the cry of his heart, Lord, your family, it's yours. Yours. In your name, Jesus.
In the presence.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. She's yours.
In and out of situations.
Right here, Spirit. Holy Spirit.
And me.
Yours. Power, Jesus. Power. All of it. All of it. All of it.
In and out of
just receive. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. She is yours.
A tug of war.
She is yours. Thank you, Lord.
All
thank
day
you,
long
Lord.
I struggle.
Guys, I'm going to tell you, all of it. You're going to
for
receive.
The answers that
you're
I
going
need.
To receive. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. He's yours. He's yours. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. He's yours. He's yours.
And in that sacred
power. Holy Spirit.
In the presence.
Drink. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. He is yours.
God Almighty.
Power.
Prince of Peace.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Please come. Visions for my life. Visions of glory.